Hi, everybody. David Capes from your friendly neighborhood theological library. Hope you're having a great day. Hey, listen, if you don't hear any podcast this year but one podcast, this is the one that you need to hear. It's with Daryl Bach. It's 22 minutes long. He's talking about a topic that is really of vital importance. He's talking about coping with pluralism. Now, our world's becoming more and more distinct and diverse and strange to us in some ways. And he's got a really interesting take on all this. He believes that the church is going about the task of engaging culture the wrong way. Well, what's the right way? Well, keep listening, and I think you'll get that. Fantastic podcast coming your way. We're going to be talking about British understatements, talking about baseball and home field advantage, which means basically visitors' disadvantage. We're going to be talking about fundamentalism and liberalism and a lot of other things from the 19th century and social gospel as well. And if you're into the music Hamilton, there's something even there for you. Daryl Bach here on the Stone Chapel Podcast.
I'm Daryl Bach, Senior Research Professor of New Testament Studies at Dallas Theological Seminary and Executive Director for Cultural Engagement at the Hendrick Center that's also at the seminary.
Dr. Daryl Bach, welcome to the Stone Chapel Podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to be contemplating a lecture this evening in the chapel.
In the chapel. We've been thinking about this for a couple of years now, mm-hmm. having you come down and do a lecture. So it's exciting that we're finally to that day.
I'm coming, I'm lecturing, and then I'm leaving as quickly as possible so that you deal with the damage.
Oh, no. Please, no. No, stick around for one more day at least. Now, one of the things that you do for us is the Lanier Foundation hosts a lecture at Lubbock Christian University. And so before you came to Houston, you actually flew out to Lubbock and you spoke there four times in one day.
Mm-hmm.
I need to apologize for that.
No, that's okay.
three times. That's right. Three times, please. No, that's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. I mean, in one day, but you're well prepared, obviously. But we're glad that you're here. And we had a great day yesterday in our discussions, in the panel discussion. But tonight is your lecture. In the show notes, we're going to put a link to the lecture itself, which will be on YouTube once it's all edited and everything. So for those who don't know Daryl Bach, who is Daryl Bach?
I'm a Texan who was born in Canada. Been married for almost 48 years. I tell people when I get introduced and say it's been married for around 40 years, I want credit for every year I've been married. And I have three children and five grandchildren, and have been at Dallas Seminary for 42 years and have done a touch of writing on the Gospels, Jesus, and cultural engagement.
A touch of writing. I mean, that's a bit of an understatement. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a British understatement.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 40 books, I think, here at the library, or close to that, with your name on it, either as author or co-author, something like that. So that's a lot more than a touch.
Yeah. Well, it's the calling that I've had to be writing. And with a little bit every day, you can get there.
Yeah. You advised me one time, I think 500 words a day is all you need.
Exactly right.
And you get a book a year.
Exactly right. Yeah, basically that's
which is great. I just can't find time to do the 500 words sometimes. But anyway, that's another program for sure.
Yeah.
All right, the title of the lecture is called Coping with Pluralism. And a few years ago, you sort of began turning your attention, not from, but including features about what's happening today in culture and trying to engage our culture in a more meaningful way. Because as most of us see these days, things seem to be headed in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like to do is take a few minutes to summarize the lecture tonight so that people who can't see it will understand what you're doing these days. And then we hope they'll be interested to go see the lecture that you'll be doing. This will be 20 minutes. That will be more like an hour, which will include the Q&A with Mark Lanier afterwards. So tell us a little bit, where are you heading tonight? First of all, what's the problem that you're trying to deal with?
The problem is that, at least in America, our culture has shifted to a radical degree in my lifetime. I like to use a metaphor to picture it. We've gone from being the home team, where the values and things that we're used to are assumed in the culture, and for the most part, if not totally adopted, at least respected. to a situation where we are now the visiting team. Only we're not just the visiting team, you know, comes in and plays as an opponent every now and then. No, we're seen as the rivals. We're
need to booed. Say you're a big baseball fan.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, you can pick the sport. So our situation.
We're booed and they throw bottles at
exactly.
us in the outfield.
Yeah, we're the
right?
bad guys. So that is a total switch from what we are have been used to. Now, it's actually more like the way Jesus said life in the church was going to be. So we've come out of an exceptional period into a more normal period, which means there are Christians living around the world who have been living with this reality, in some cases all their Christian existence, who have much to teach us. The flip side of it is we have to figure out how to cope with that. And we have developed a coping strategy in the way we've gone about the culture war that I think is not sufficiently biblically rooted. And as a result, rather than being something that has advanced the work of the church and benefited people, it has actually done damage to the church and has also done damage to our society by the way we've gone about it. So the lecture tonight is an attempt to say, one, we don't have a theology of cultural engagement. We need one. And two, if you look at what at least the skeleton of that would look like, it critiques the way we have conducted ourselves on the one hand and gives us a direction for how we ought to conduct ourselves on the other. So I'm looking at six passages in the time that I have that lay out this outline, of which the most important theme beyond how we live out our Christian life is the tone with which we engage those who are opposed to us actually matters quite a lot.
I mean, you used the term earlier, and I know it's been around for a while, culture war.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit different than saying, hey, we're on opposing teams and we're playing
right.
a game. That's
right.
different, because now you've ratcheted everything up.
Yeah, it's an ultimate battle.
Right. And there are winners and there are losers in ball games, but there are also winners and losers in war.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be that.
You know, the hard part is that we were given an assignment before we got to the culture war, and the assignment was to go into the world and make disciples. So the people who are outside the church are not the enemy. They're the goal. And so that changes the game, because my intent is not to crush somebody. My intent is to gain someone. And so that makes a difference.
So is this a way actually of doing evangelism then in some way?
Well, it's connected to mission, because I think we haven't thought about the way in which we engage in public space tied to mission, because we're dealing with an overhang of the fundamentalist modernist controversy. I won't get a chance to talk about this tonight, but it's in the background. And that is, we took something that was seen as connected, and we, and I mean everybody, pulled it apart. Liberals did it in one way, conservatives did it in another way, and we pulled them apart. And now the way in which we engage in public space becomes of lens that is seen primarily ideologically rather than seen theologically, and that becomes a problem. The way this worked was, Christianity was seen as a holistic religion. It was supposed to be about every public space in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. And through all of life.
And through all of life.
Cradle to grave.
Exactly right. Through all of life and in every space. And you know that because, for example, we had state churches, which proved the point of the intent. Or we pursued things like the abolition movement, which was obviously in public space as well. So there are examples of this. In the 19th century, with the fundamentalist modernist controversy, liberals came along. They said, we like the ethics of Christianity, but we don't necessarily buy the theological story that's underneath it. And they pulled the content of the gospel out away from the ethics by which they wanted to live. We've made subsequent moves since then, but that's what was happening in the 19th century. Conservatives looked at that and they went, oh man, that's a problem. And in their defense of the Bible and the gospel, they said, we're putting all our chips on the gospel side of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And this space over here is a liberal space.
Talking about the ethics side.
The ethics side, social gospel and all that stuff. And we pulled it apart. So what happened is each side pulled it apart. The liberals said, we like the ethics side. The conservatives said, well, we want to keep the gospel as central.
Mm-hmm.
And they flipped the liberal model. Okay? Mm-hmm. They simply flipped it. This is what we care about. We
the
care
theology
about
the
what
the
I call the gospel, as opposed to a social gospel or caring for your neighbor. And so it got pulled apart. So now anyone who tries to bring it back together has got this ideological, how can I say this, ideological lens over that linkage that makes pulling it back together hard. But underneath it, I say, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So we need to figure out how we connect the ethical engagement in our public space to our mission. And that's actually part of what I'm going to try and do tonight, is to show that this actually is a very, very missional way to think about public space.
Have you been surprised with how quickly things have unraveled, as you said, in your lifetime? Is that a surprising thing?
The answer is yes and no. I went to Europe in the 1970s because I saw what was going on in Europe, and I was thinking to myself, I really need to move and spend some time living in a culture in which Christianity is becoming less central.
And this was when you went to Scotland?
This is when I went to Scotland.
Okay, and then actually, later you went to Germany.
I went to Germany, did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then I spend virtually every summer globally in different parts of the world. So last summer I was in India, Greece, Israel, and the Philippines. And I do this on purpose because I'm trying to get a sense of how Christians are coping with the different structures that they live in, and particularly when they're operating as cultural minorities. So that's part of what we do. So I went to Europe because I thought Europe is 15 to 20 years ahead of us, but it's the direction we're going, and we're eventually going to get there. And so we better be prepared. And what's happened now is that distance has probably shrunk. It's not 20 years anymore. And in some cases, we lead those conversations as opposed to being mm-hmm. behind on them. Mm-hmm. And so how is the church going to cope with its loss of status? And then this thought hit me in the midst of working with this, and that is, I thought about the first century church. No cultural power, no social power, no political power. All they had was spiritual power. Mm-hmm. They seemed to have done pretty well.
Yeah, grew pretty quickly.
That's exactly right. So what can we learn from how they went about it? So those are the motivation I have. And I see all this as a natural extension of the work I was doing in the Gospels and the stuff I was doing with Jesus. Because to me, in the end, in the Bible, if you don't apply what's being talked about theologically, you have not done your theology. You've been engaged in a shadow theology.
And that idea of application is the ethical side.
Right,
how does this work out in life?
And we've historically short shrifted the relational, ethical side of the faith. Mm-hmm. You heard me last night talk to the audience and say, we've got the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. These are wonderful creeds. They're wonderful doctrinal statements. Mm-hmm. But there's not one word about ethics in either of them and how I live.
That's interesting because both of those are not necessarily the Apostles' Creed, but the Nicene Creed is at least crafted about the time that Christians were entering into
more
primacy in the culture. They were getting into the public space.
Exactly right. And again, the content base is important, but if the content base doesn't translate into how we live, then we haven't lived out what Jesus is talking about. So to me, all this is a natural extension of thinking through, what does it mean to be a Christian in the world? What does it mean to go into the world and make disciples? What does it mean to be engaging with someone? And my assignment is to take someone who's opposed to what it is that I believe and actually invite them into a different way of life with the intent and hope that they might actually respond. Of course, part of the job is the work of the Holy Spirit. The beauty of this is my only calling is to be faithful to that message and to deliver it both in word and hopefully deed in such a way that it is seen and not just heard. I like the passage, the section in Hamilton where Aaron Burr is meeting Alexander Hamilton, and he has the little song, "Talk Less, Smile More." And I adopt that and adapt it and say, the church needs to talk less and show more. If you listen to the testimony of people who come to the Lord who did not grow up in a Christian home, somewhere in that testimony is a section that goes like this. I met this person who was a Christian. Mm-hmm. They lived differently than I did, and they made me curious. And then the story testimony goes mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've ever heard of too many testimonies from people who didn't grow up in the church that didn't have that section in it somewhere.
It's good insight.
And so the question becomes, if that's how it works, to go out and deal with the person who's opposed to me in such a way that I treat them as an enemy, they're a battalion I need to crush. Mm-hmm. The first passage we'll look at tonight will be Ephesians 6, in which the text in verse 12 says, our battle is not, that's emphatic, against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. It's against spiritual forces of darkness. It's against cosmocrats. That's the Greek word. I'd say if you think a bureaucrat's bad, you should meet a cosmocrat. Yeah. And so it's a spiritual battle. It requires spiritual resources. And that's what is described in Ephesians 6. He's just gone through three chapters calling on the church to live in a certain distinctive way that is the armor he's asking them to put on. So we're going to talk about that tonight, and then we'll put five other passages around it that deal with tone, and hopefully we'll get people interested not in crushing the person they're in a discussion with, but actually trying to invite them into a different way of life.
What happens when you meet a person and they already have made up their minds about Christians? You know, Christians are this, Christians are that, and they don't necessarily want to be persuaded.
My first response is to say we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus spent the whole second half of his ministry with his disciples saying, I'm going to go the way of the cross. If you follow me, you're going to have to bear your cross. There's going to be pushback from the world. You can expect it. One of the passages we'll look at tonight in 1 Peter says three times, you're going to get punished for doing the right thing. I call it box law. Every good deed will get punished. That's the way the Christian is supposed to see the world. But I'm supposed to relate to them in such a distinctive way that I model the fact that even though your back is turned to important things about life, I'm going to be with you and care for you and love you and reach out to you in such a way that maybe one day you'll become interested.
And that person may very well be a different color, may speak a different language.
All of that.
May have a different religion.
They may even be a relative in your own family.
It could be.
You know, I mean, it runs the gamut. And then another point that will be made tonight is when we do this, when we engage with people whose backs are turned to God and invite them into this new life, we are actually replicating what God did with us when he saved us. Our backs were turned to God, and he tapped us on the shoulder and brought us to himself. So we have the chance to replicate God's grace by the way we do this.
Imitating God.
You're imitating God. That's coming right out of 1 Peter 3.
Right.
Our goal is not to treat the other as the other. The goal is to take the person who's not in the space that we're in and invite them into the opportunity to have a different kind of life.
And this is really the alternative to culture war.
It is the alternative.
The biblical, scriptural, theologically sound idea of how to engage culture.
Exactly right. And it requires a lot of listening, requires a lot of patience.
Yeah. What have you written on this topic?
Well, I did two books. First book I wrote too early. The title, which was not mine, it was the publisher's. The one time when I gave in to a publisher about a title, and now that I've done it once, I will never do it again. And it's entitled How Would Jesus Vote? And I just thought it was a totally pretentious title. But the goal was to walk through the kinds of disputes that we have in public space and to analyze them biblically and to show that each side is bringing something to the table of the discussion that needs to be taken seriously. And rather than choosing a side by choosing the value that I chose to hold on to and ignoring the value that the other side is bringing, we need to think about how to calibrate those values in relationship to each other. That was the point of that book. And I did it with a myriad of issues and then talked about the history of the formation of the United States, which one also has to understand in order to have that conversation here. And the way in which America is a combination of Enlightenment values and Judeo-Christian ethics at its roots, and we've lost the Judeo-Christian ethics, which means it's hard to fly a plane.
We still keep the ethics in some way.
What's happened is it's become cloudy. Okay, we have Judeo-Christian values that underlie a lot of what we do, but we also have a lot of relativism that is producing static on that wing. And so I make the point, it's hard to fly a plane by one wing, but ultimately we're an Enlightenment institution, which is why we have religious freedom. I tell people, if you're a citizen of the United States, your religion makes no difference to that designation. And what I mean by that is you have the same rights as an American citizen, whether you are an atheist, an agnostic, a Buddhist, a Muslim, or whatever. So that's an Enlightenment principle. And that's the way our public space is formed, which should then inform how we walk into public space, because everyone has a right to be there, and then how you conduct yourself in that public space. So that's a whole... That's a whole other podcast.
All right, we got to continue this some way and somehow. Now, you do a podcast very quickly, 15 seconds. Tell us about the podcast.
I host a podcast along with several other people on the Hendricks Center team called The Table. Welcome to The Table. We discuss issues of God and culture, which is a nice way of saying we discuss anything and everything because God's
culture's everything.
Exactly right.
And God's everywhere.
Exactly.
Right.
So we've done about 600 hours of stuff. We've done probably over 70 hours just on sexuality alone. Thinking about it theologically, voicedts.edu/table podcast, and it will get you to the collection.
Daryl Bach, thanks for being with us today on the Stone Chapel. Got to have you back again.
My pleasure.
You know, I always love hanging around Daryl Buck. I'm always learning something, whatever he's talking about, whatever the topic is, because he knows so very much, whether it's about the New Testament or now about cultural engagement. Hey, we got some new listeners down there in New Zealand. Thank you guys for listening. Please share it with your friends and encourage them to listen as well. We'd love to have just a great group of people down there, about 12 hours away from Houston, listening to the podcast. They come about your way every Tuesday morning in Houston, which, gosh, I guess that's probably midnight or so your time. But at any rate, you're listening, and so thank you very much for a part of that. We'd love for you or anybody from New Zealand or Cambodia or wherever you're listening to be in touch. Here's how you do it: podcast@lanierlibrary.org. That's podcast@lanierlibrary.org. And the way you spell Lanier is L-A-N-I-E-R. Thank you guys for listening. Another great podcast is coming your way. Stand by for a nugget of wisdom from our guest, Dr. Daryl Buck.
You know, when we talk about cultural engagement, we think about the agendas that we bring. But I think the piece of wisdom comes from James 1, 19 and 20. We should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Unfortunately, in our world, the verses usually handle the exact reverse. We are slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to anger, because the anger of man allows me to vent and tell you what's wrong with the world. So the piece of wisdom is understand first, assess later, listen first, talk later, and invite people into the opportunity for a new life. Because one of the passages that's important on cultural engagement, 2 Corinthians 5 says, "We plead with you, be reconciled to God." That tone matters.